Well, welcome to Cloverdale Baptist Church podcast. We are delighted today to have a very special and honored guest, our children's director, Robin, who has just done a phenomenal job on one of the most important ministries in the church. In fact, I think she would argue the most important ministry in the church.
I would,
and
definitely.
And I think Jesus might agree with you. That's an interesting thing. Didn't he often say that children matter?
Yes, unless you become like a little child, you won't enter the kingdom of heaven.
Well, and I think even there are some times where the disciples tried to take the children away.
That's right.
Do you know, Robin, I think you're the first children's ministry person in our church in my history, which is now I'm getting older, that ever says to me, please go longer in your preaching. You're probably the only person in our church that begs me to preach for a longer time because you love spending time with children and helping them know Jesus.
Yes, yes. And the more time I have, the better. Yes.
Isn't that wonderful? Like every senior pastor just longs for a children's minister that's like you. It's just a delight to have you. You're so good at what you do because you love Jesus and because you love children. You're longing to have his word implanted in their hearts. It is really a delight as someone who gets to work with those who work with children to see your heart for God and your heart for kids. I just want to ask you some questions, interact with you so that those who are listening to our podcast can understand not only the importance of children's ministry, but also that they would get excited and maybe even engage for the first time, maybe continue to engage and be encouraged in kids' ministry.
Sure.
The impact that it has. So I guess my first question is, how long have you been doing this?
Well, I have been teaching kids about Jesus ever since I got saved. I got saved at 12. I wasn't from a Christian family. And so as a kid, discovering the love of Jesus just impacted me so deeply that I just wanted to serve him and give back to him any way I could. So I went back to my Methodist church back in a little town in New York and didn't even have a Bible, but asked if I could teach Sunday school. And of course, they said yes. and I just started teaching.
You've come a long ways from there.
I have.
Now,
yes.
Don't you just give out Bibles to everyone?
I honestly do. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. It was one of the things I also love about you. The curriculum is the Bible.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
yes.
I love that. Yeah. So if you started at 12 and you're now 36, I don't want to do the math, but how many years is that? That's like over 20 years. That's a long time.
Yeah, several decades even beyond that.
Well, one of the things that I appreciate about Kids Men at Cloverdale Baptist Church, we've always felt it was important. In fact, before I came here, one of the first things they said to me is kids matter to Cloverdale Baptist Church because kids matter to God. You've really helped us take the next step in excellence in kids ministry. And one of the things I appreciate too, you saw a gap. We had a gap at the time that Pastor Ray came, your husband, and you just said, hey, I want to serve. You don't have to pay me. I just want to serve kids. And that is a delight. Maybe tell us one of the things that are important to having a healthy kids ministry. You teach this, you teach students, you model it, you've brought us as a church in so many steps to be better. What are some priorities, some passions that you have for kids ministry?
Well, one of the first things I want to have in a children's ministry is theologically sound curriculum. Mm. What we're teaching the kids does matter. And it really matters that it's Bible accurate. And so that's the first thing, just theologically sound.
Yeah, and I think for a church, that's what we're trying to do is implant the Word of God into their hearts,
yes.
Joining parents in that.
Yeah. And the second thing is just, like you said, the Bible, and making sure kids have the Bible and teaching them how to read it.
And you even reward them for bringing Bibles.
Yes,
to, I love it. Novel idea. You should bring a Bible to church.
Yes.
Novel idea.
It is. It is. Yeah, it is. So just being part of that discipleship training, just continuing to disciple these children. And then also the safety and security that we need to have in the church.
You brought a lot of that. We've always considered that obviously a priority, especially in the community we're in, the world we're in. Yeah. And I think a lot of stuff we become aware of in terms of the dangers and those things. I love that kids are safe at Cloverdale Baptist. And you've played a part in that. You brought a lot of new things to us too. And we were already pretty careful. So
No, that's really important to especially young parents to know that their kids are safe and when they are here at church. They are safe. They will be safe.
Yeah. You know, it's really neat. I had a lady take Lori and I aside on Sunday, and she just said, you work hard to make people safe at Cloverdale Baptist Church. And it's so true. And really, that begins with protecting those who are most vulnerable, and that would be our children.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. What else? Or are we done?
No. The volunteers, training the volunteers, making sure that you communicate with them, regularly, weekly, I email or talk with them just to make sure we're going all going in the same direction.
So a communication. Plus a love for God together, understanding the purpose.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, making sure they understand what we're doing and why.
Now, this is just a silly question, but why do you love kids so much more than you love adults? I've always been confused by that. Actually, now I'm not. I got Eloise and I get it. It's everything makes sense.
Well,
Eloise
kids
is
are,
my granddaughter for
yes,
those listening.
Eloise is beautiful little girl, beautiful. I just love children because I want them to be able to grow up in a world where they know that there is hope for them, that Jesus loves them. There's someone there to and watching out for them, protecting them. As a child, I really had no hope, and so I just really want to
and then you
bring
found
that to
hope
kids. Yes,
in Christ.
Yes, yes.
And then in serving the church, you offer that hope to others in the power of the Spirit. I just so love that. I really think in our culture, Robin, and I think we've talked about this a little bit offline, but in our culture, there seems to be a real intensive attack on children, whether it's through awful things that are awful to everyone or even some of the things, just the way they think and the way they're taught to be selfish and all. There's just so many things that are oppressive. I'm just wondering if you can help us not only in setting the church up for success in discipleship, which you do so well and you accomplish that, but also if I was to ask you, how can parents, obviously we see the church and the home as a partnership. How can parents in the home be a support, a pursuer of, and really impact children in terms of discipleship? How can you help parents not just drop their kids off and leave, but actually engage in that ministry of discipleship and then see the church as a support of that?
Yeah. Unfortunately, many parents understand the church to be the primary leader in spiritual development of their kids, and this is not biblical. Deuteronomy 6 clearly talks about how parents need to be involved in teaching their kids all the time, inside, outside, when they're laying down, when they're sitting up, all the time. It's the church's mandate to come alongside what is being taught in the home, to be another strong voice of faith that speaks into our kids. But over the years, the bulk of the training has fallen to the church, and instead of the church being an extension of home training, a partner with the parents, in many cases, the church is seen as a school where parents drop them off and we teach them about biblical information. We train them how to pray. We give them a Bible. But really, that needs to come from the parents' home, from the home and from the parents. So my goal is to create a curriculum that will resource the parents in equipping their children with God's Word. We send home take-home papers, devotional material, weekly Bible memory verses that they can use, to talk with their kids throughout the week. We have godly mentors each week that the kids come in and sit in these small group.
I so agree with you. I think the value of the home and really being primary, your Deuteronomy 6 passage, Robin, that is such an important passage. We need to be, as those who are parents, modeling truly disciples ourselves. And then I love the fact that there's two things I think that you've shared. And just if I can, again, from interaction we've had before, you want somebody to be able to come who has a non-Christian family and be able to grow and learn. Mm-hmm. But even more importantly, or I suppose as important or focused, you want what you teach to be something that augments what's going on in the home.
Right.
And that a parent can come. And I know you even interact sometimes during the pastoral prayer time with whoever's doing that. And you're saying, this is what I'm teaching. Make sure you talk about this at home.
Yeah.
And I think it's really important that parents see what you're doing, which is so excellent, is an opportunity to leapfrog off of, to learn from you through them, but also to use that opportunity everywhere they go to introduce their children to a deeper walk with Jesus. And I think I would just say as a parent, the most important, well, I suppose a grandparent now, although I still have three at home, the most important thing we can do is truly love Jesus ourselves. Mm-hmm. And when we believe he's real and relevant, not only do we take advantage of excellent ministries like we have at Cloverdale Baptist, but we also are walking and talking as though God is real because he is. We're living in his presence, and you do that so well.
And that's part of the faith development of a child. They hear, they understand, they watch their parents, they listen to them talk of faith. And it helps them to develop their own faith, their individual faith.
And
as
that's
a
what
child.
We're after, right? Yeah. It's not just content; it's that walk with God.
Yes, it's a continuing discipleship. impacting kids for a lifetime with Jesus. That's my motto.
Is that? I think it's our motto, isn't it? We took it and now we own it. We're just impacting people for a lifetime with Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And really eternity, isn't it? Because there's so many children that have come to know Jesus in the ministries here. Well, I suppose your ministry's all along, but I'm now, we'll own those ministries. Mm-hmm. Not only in our summer camps and those sort of things, but also just weekly we're seeing this impact for Jesus. And the longing, I think, Robin, I just want to reemphasize this because you said it well. We don't just want kids to come and have a good time or even kids just to learn content. We want a faith that's developed, like yours at 12, that turns into a life of ministry, a life of devotion to God, a life of living on mission for His kingdom. And again, I want to say as to our parents that are out there listening, what an opportunity for you to make this a high priority so that it's a part of your children's lives and a part of the tool that you use to disciple your children. There are so many things out there training them to be worldly. We know the demonic attack that comes, and we also know the flesh is real. Outside of Eloise, I suppose there's some confusion and questions on that still, but for most, and just again, if you're a listener, it is true that she probably has those issues as well. But I just think, again, it's so important that this ministry is not only seen as the support it is, but also the priority that it is, and you've done that so well. Yeah. Robin, one of the things you do is you teach kids men at a seminary in the area. Mm-hmm. You teach it also for Miller. I just am curious as to the key advice you would give to someone who wants to serve kids in the local church, maybe twofold. Let me split this question a little bit. The first would be someone who wants to do it full-time. What kind of advice would you give him or her? And then maybe more specifically, you know, you're sitting in the pew and you go, I want to get involved. I don't know where to get involved. And obviously we're saying here, the priority is kids ministry.
Yeah.
I think next time when we bring Pastor Ray on or whoever we bring next, they might say something different. Pastor Thomas might say youth. But let's just assume, listen, I have a heart for God. I have a heart for what He values. That's clearly children. I know there's other things, but it's clearly children. What advice would you give to them? So first, the person you're teaching in seminary. Second, someone in the local church just says, I'd like to get involved.
Well, if you're pursuing your calling into children's ministry as a full-time calling, first of all, make sure that calling is true, that you really do feel that God is leading you that way, and then get involved in an internship or come alongside someone who is in children's ministry who can mentor you through the next steps of just getting involved. Children's ministry workers are few and far between. So if there's anybody out there who really wants to be involved in a church ministry, give me a call. That's what you can do.
That's a pretty open thing. I think the call is so important. Not only the internal call of God on your life to say, mm-hmm. this is where I want you to be, and you just know, you just have that conviction.
Yeah.
But also the external call where you have people affirm that. People like Robin who say, you know what, I see this in you. And Robin, you've done that well. I've heard you talk to other people and produce other people in terms of affirming that external call. And I think that's excellent. Okay, so mm-hmm. make sure you're called. Make sure you're authentically saved, obviously. What else would you say?
Get involved. Just find if you gave your pastor a call and said, I want to get involved with the children's ministry. I mean, after he fainted dead away and then came back.
Oh, no. Here that happens all the time. But you don't call me, you call Robin.
Just find where you can use your spiritual gifts in children's ministry. All the gifts are, I see them all the time being used. And just find a place where you can serve, whether it's in a classroom or whether it's in the nursery. There's a lady that I know, she said, I can't do much, but I can hold a baby, you know, and she just does that every single week.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
And you know what? I think looking for that need is one of the greatest mm-hmm. ways that we affirm, because it might be you're not called and it might be you feel you are and then you get involved and you're not, or it might be you're just looking to meet a need and all of a sudden God says, I can use you to bring children to know
that's
me.
That's right.
And that is a way to be blessed. Mm-hmm. All right. That is excellent. Now, Robin, the sad news, or I suppose happy news for you.
Yeah.
You love Cloverdale Baptist Church. You've served here faithfully. We're willing to serve for free. You have that passion for children's ministries. But I understand there's a change coming in your future. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, there is a change coming. Well, in my near future, I've got summer camp coming up.
So oh, we better talk about that. If you're not involved, call her and be a volunteer for mm-hmm. kids ministry,
yes.
kids
yeah.
camp in
yeah.
the summer. Massive impact. Okay, yes. After that,
I will be retiring from staff in August, but I will be, but not from ministry. I'll continue to serve wherever I can here at Cloverdale Baptist, wherever it's needed.
I love that line. I'll be retiring from staff, but not from ministry.
Right.
And that's your heart. I don't actually think it would be possible for you to retire from ministry.
No.
Well, when God promotes you to glory, maybe.
But. Yeah, I will serve until I'm sitting at his feet, that's for sure. And then I've got 8 grandchildren who I just love to hang out with and be involved in their life and really impact them in spiritual. Well, there's lots
Fantastic.
Of fun stories about that.
Yeah.
And then
we don't have another hour, so can you move on from that quickly?
Yes, I will move on quickly from that one. And then I'm also looking into developing an outreach to children globally by sewing dresses and shorts for kids who are in need around the world. I've been in contact with several people who know of orphanages or ministries where I can just fill a need for children to have something special, a new little dress or a new pair of shorts.
That is so precious. Yeah. Now, Rob, you shared a bit of that with the elders. Mm-hmm. If someone was just now listening to this and going, oh, I'd love to help, would you like a phone call from them or would you like them to wait a month or two until you set it up?
Well, I need to make sure I have those contacts, but I do want to build a team around this so that we can really impact kids globally for Jesus.
Hey, I'd forgotten about this, and we're going to run out of time, but I want you to share a little bit about what you believe about creating a safe place for families who have special needs or intensify in that, because that's one of the first things you shared with us.
Yes.
You kind of came to the elders and said, oh, if we as a church could do this, can you spend, a few moments and just share that heart and what you've done at Cloverdale to help us to do that?
Yeah. The Lord has put on my heart a special love for children who need supportive care, for those families who are struggling with children of special needs, and how the church really over the years has sort of neglected those families, and they've become, they've felt that they've been unwelcome at churches. And I've really worked hard to change that. And I went to a conference one time and I was sitting amongst some families and they were saying, can you imagine if we could go to church and leave our children in a safe place? Can you imagine if a church would welcome us? And so I call this program,
Imagine. Oh, we're going to own it again,
yeah.
Robin.
It's
our program now. I know it was your dream, but.
No, that's sort of the label, the Imagine Ministries, so that parents can come and just have a little respite as they go and worship the Lord, as they go and listen, sit under your teaching. Their children are safe and happy, and they're also learning that Jesus loves them from parents.
And people that are equipped to take care
people
of them.
People are trained and equipped to
and
take care
the
of them.
And then the space you've special designed. I know you came with that budget, and you said, here's what I want to do, the dream, the imagining.
Yes.
I just, from my heart, I truly value that ministry and treasure that you have brought that to our family and that it's a part. Robin, it's been excellent to talk to you. We're delighted to have you on staff, value you not only as an individual, but for what you do to our church family, what you do for our church family, and what you do especially for those precious children that Jesus loves. So thank you. Thank you for sharing with us. I hope this has helped you to engage. If you have any interest in children's ministries, please talk to Robin. And again, I would strongly encourage you, I think maybe the best place to serve in the church, if you talk about the 414 window, the best place to have an eternal impact is children's ministries.
Yes.
Thank you for spending time with us. Thank you, Robin, for joining us. And God bless you as you seek to live your life in the reality of who he is and what he has done, and in the relevance of knowing that he is with you at all times. God bless.
Thank you.